We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now, it's time for Brian Barrett on WEEI.
Hill will not be suspended. We will be able to attend and participate in all Chiefs activities.
You gotta be kidding me!
Dial 617-779-7937.
Drive to center field. Jackie going back to the warning track by the fence, and this was gone.
Oh, yuck.
Swinging his hammer deep to left. There it goes. Keon Broxton connects 15 rows back in left field.
Honestly, I just think it's trash.
Now, it's time for Brian Barrett on WEEI.
Oh, David. I thought we were past this, man. I really did. And then last night, the Orioles, really? Coming into last night, the worst team in Major League Baseball. After all that had transpired this week, David Price goes out against the Baltimore Orioles and lays an egg. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board here. What did you make of Price not showing up at the mound last night after everything that went on between him and Dennis Eckersley this week, which is now 2 years in the making as it pertains to one David Price? You would have thought, all right, he's going to want to go out there and pitch well because of the fact that all this drama has now surrounded the team once again, courtesy of one David Price. But no, he gets shelled by the Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles, who came into last night with 29 wins on the season. David Price doesn't even make it to the fifth inning of the game. He lasts four innings in this game. And now it seems like with this team in particular, every time you think this team is going to turn a corner, every time you want to buy into this team, something like this crap happens. And this is the worst of all because of the fact you had all the drama off the field as well. But just think about it from last week's perspective. Erod Friday night goes out there against the Dodgers, 10 strikeouts, 7 innings. You're feeling good about your Red Sox. Oh, yeah, then Sale doesn't show up on Saturday night. David Price was not great on Sunday night. You also had the issue with not bunting with Marco Hernandez in the 11th inning of the ballgame. A lot of errors in that game, in particular in terms of decision makings, if you will. Decision making process was off by the manager, and you couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. Just an awful effort all around on Sunday night, and you felt awful about the team coming off that series. And then the same thing this week, right? Because finally, by the way, I missed the parade for Chris Sale having a great outing against the Toronto Blue Jays. Congratulations. He pitched well against the Blue Jays. Congrats. I mean, everybody was pumped up and fired up. Apparently, Sale Day is a thing again. We're all going to get fired up about Chris Sale pitching well against the Toronto Blue Jays. Congratulations. One of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. But nonetheless, there was at least some optimism, if you will. You were feeling good. All right, Chris Sale. He looked like Chris Sale for the first time in weeks. You're feeling good about your Red Sox. And then David Price goes out to the mound against the Orioles on Friday night, and he gets absolutely shelled. And now, when you look at your Red Sox, well, good thing you got Rick Porcello going tonight, as if he hasn't been shelled over the past couple of outings. Remember the Yankees outing? Didn't get out of the first inning. Oh, yeah, got shelled by the Blue Jays. He's been a mess for his last four starts, but according to the manager, Alex Cora says they figured something out after the third inning of his last start against the Blue Jays. Let's hope that's the case, because they really need Rick Porcello to go out and win a game tonight. How do you feel at this particular point in time if you're a Red Sox fan and you need Rick Porcello to go out to the mound tonight to get you a win, just to give you an opportunity to win a series on Sunday against the Baltimore Orioles? Because that right now is where this Red Sox team is at. And the whole thing with David Price is, if you just pitched poorly last night, people wouldn't have made that big of a deal about it. But because of everything that happened this week with Dennis Eckersley, then you're in a situation where everybody's pointing the finger at you once again. That's the reality that you now live in because of the mess that you made this week. So I want to get back to this whole controversy with Dennis Eckersley that began this week again. I really don't understand what Price was trying to accomplish with what he did. So we go back to the original story, of course. We know what happened with the whole thing about Eduardo Rodriguez having a poor outing and a rehab start, if you will. And Dennis Eckersley famously said, yuck, which Well, it's not that big of a deal. What do you want him to do? I mean, he's evaluating terrible numbers when a guy's making a start in the minor leagues. What do you want him to say? Hey, E-Rod, hey, you know what? You didn't have it today. Do better next time. No, that's not what you want from your broadcaster.
Oh,
you want reality. That's what you want. You want him to tell you what actually happened so he reacted as anybody would react. And then, of course, we all know that Price cornered him on the plane and bullied him and told him to get the bleep out of there. So then this week, Chad Finn has that write-up, which became a controversy in and of itself, on Dennis Eckersley. And Eckersley recently had that documentary and whatnot. And Dennis Eckersley said this as it pertained to the David Price situation. I didn't know how to deal with it. I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him. Never. I don't really give a bleep one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or another. So then, of course, David Price meets the media, and we all know what David Price did. David Price basically decided to assassinate Dennis Eckersley's character without having the proper information to do so. Remember, he was essentially saying that none of his teammates were in his documentary, Eck on Eck, which, oh, by the way, David Price also said in those comments that if they ever do a documentary about him, he's not going to have to be in the documentary. Well, that's kind of the point of the documentary. The documentary is called Eck on Eck. So mainly they want to talk about Eck. So that's kind of the gist of what they're doing in the film, is they want to talk about Dennis Eckersley. And Dennis Eckersley is one of the most entertaining people in baseball, has a fascinating backstory. So they want to hear from Dennis Eckersley. That's kind of how a documentary works. But nonetheless, you go out there and you want to eviscerate the man's character, essentially saying he's a bad teammate. And you don't realize that the documentary actually has a large portion of it, or at least some portion of the documentary, is his former teammates actually talking about Dennis Eckersley, the teammate. Ron Darling's in it. Ray Fosse's in it. Bruce Hurst is in it. Mark McGuire's in it. Chris Cotillo from Mass Live put out some of the quotes. Ron Darling on Eck. Quote, Dennis is kind of like a man on an island. He's just so good at what he does. None of us feel worthy of being his teammates. That's honestly how I feel. Bruce Hurst. He's like the coolest guy ever. But the thing I learned most from him is that he's the most honest guy I ever played with. He never, ever ducked an interview. He never hid from anyone, anything or any excuse. So David Price is going up there the other day, and David Price is criticizing Dennis Eckersley, essentially saying, yeah, none of his old teammates wanted to be in his documentary. That's the difference with me. Everybody is going to want to talk about me when I'm done playing. And Dennis Eckersley's teammates all wanted to talk about what a great teammate Dennis Eckersley is. So essentially what you wanted to do is you wanted to throw Dennis Eckersley under the bus. You wanted to take shots at Dennis Eckersley, and you didn't have the proper artillery, the proper weaponry to actually make an argument against him. You went in there and you just made something up. What did you watch? 10 minutes of the documentary, and that's the take you had from it is, oh, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to spin this thing. And I really don't understand what David Price thought he was going to be able to accomplish by doing that the other day. Because if you really think about it, did he think that just because he had this postseason run last year where he pitched well, that the fan base is just going to buy into every single thing that David Price says? Is that what he thought? Because Dennis Eckersley, nobody is going to defend what David Price did to Dennis Eckersley. Okay. And then when you come out and you make a dumb claim like that, saying that none of his teammates want to actually speak about Dennis Eckersley, which isn't true, do you think the fan base is just going to say, yeah, you know what? Well, hey, Price was part of the World Series team. Price was a big part of that World Series team. So you know what? Let's get on Price's side here. Even though, like, all the facts of the case point to the complete contrary. All the facts of the case point to the opposite, right? They point to Dennis Eckersley's side. Like, no, actually, guys supported Dennis Eckersley. So just because you pitched well in the postseason, you think everybody's going to get back on your side when you make a dumbass comment like this? Did you actually think that people were going to believe you? Did you actually think that in like 10 minutes it wasn't going to be proven that what you're saying wasn't true? That's what I don't understand. I really have no idea how he could think this would work in his favor. I really don't. Maybe he was just lazy. He didn't watch the whole documentary, even though he said it was good. And he just didn't understand what happened after the part of the documentary he didn't watch. Maybe that's what it was. And he thought that the documentary had nobody else in it, that none of his teammates wanted to talk about him. So maybe what he thought was going to happen is he could actually make this case that Dennis Eckersley was a bad teammate, even though he had no proof of it whatsoever. Maybe that's what he thought. And if he thought that, the guy's absolutely clueless, because you knew that you did this in front of the media. You did this in front of a ton of people. It was all over local TV. You knew that people were going to fact check this. And when they fact check this, all these quotes come out from his former teammates. So I have no idea how David Price can be this clueless when it comes to this situation in particular. You would think if you're going to do this to a guy that everybody in this town loves, Dennis Eckersley, you would find a way to make sure you were right about something. I mean, what an absolute buffoon he looked like the other day. And then to basically lay an egg yesterday against the Baltimore Orioles after you did that, just clueless, just absolutely clueless by David Price. And this is something that we should have expected would have happened, right? Because we know this about David Price. Since he's been in this town, he has not handled adversity well. Oh, he had this great postseason run. Okay, yeah. He pitched well after he sucked against the Yankees and after he sucked against the Astros in the first start. Then he figured it out. But should we be throwing a parade because David Price is somebody that pitched well in the postseason for like three starts? Isn't that what you're paying him to do? Isn't that what you expect from David Price? And this is more proof. It's more proof that everything has to be about David Price. That's where we're at with this guy. Everything has to be about him. Just think about it from this perspective. What did David Price do last year, right after his team won the World Series? What was on David Price's mind right after his team won the World Series? He went out to the podium and started pumping his chest, saying, "I have the trump card now. You guys can't do anything." So what was on his mind was he wanted to go after the media after he just won the World Series.
Where's everybody at?
Yeah, where's everybody at is right. That's what was on his mind. He got out to the podium early so he could go after the media. That's how early he was out to the podium. You know, the media is like out there covering people celebrating the World Series and whatnot. David Price wants to go at the media. All about David Price. That's where he was at. It was all about David Price. So what this boils down to is David Price brought controversy back to himself when he didn't need to do it, okay? That's the reality of it. He didn't need to get back into the bad graces, if you will. He didn't have to get back into a place where the fan base was going to turn on him again. Because really, if you think about it, the fan base had accepted him after what he did in the postseason a year ago. The fan base had accepted David Price. And there was literally nothing, no controversy with David Price at any point this season. There was nothing. He had been your most consistent pitcher. Most consistent pitcher all season long. Nobody would debate that. The guy has been having a good season. Now, I'm questioning him now because this is now three consecutive starts where he hasn't pitched more than five innings. So maybe David Price, the pitcher, is actually now becoming a concern once again. But nonetheless, I digress. Getting back to the original point, the issues with this team have been Porcello sucks. Chris Sale has not had a good season. Nathan Eovaldi, who was activated today for the most part this season, has been MIA, nowhere to be found. People were talking about the struggles of Mookie Betts. Nothing about David Price because he has been performing on the field and there have been no issues off the field with David Price this season. But now there are again. Now there are again because of what you did the other day. So when I look at it, David Price, the fan base had accepted David Price. The fan base was appreciative of what David Price had done last year in the postseason. Everybody in the fan base would acknowledge for the bulk of this season, David Price has been the best pitcher. So there was nothing really to complain about as it pertains to one David Price. And now this happens. So I also look at this. So the fan base had forgiven him, but Dennis Eckersley, remember, did not want to meet with David Price. And Dennis Eckersley now is saying that he's still surprised at what David Price did to him. So this is like the sin that has not been absolved, if you will, from David Price as a member of the Red Sox, right? Dennis Eckersley hasn't publicly forgiven him. And if you were Dennis Eckersley, would you want to meet with this guy? Because think about what he did to you, okay? All you did was you made a comment on TV and you said yuck when you saw Eduardo Rodriguez's stats. So then when you get onto the team plane, David Price essentially bullies you, says, oh, this is the guy where the game is easy to. And by the way, the game is pretty easy for Dennis Eckersley. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if you know that. Won an MVP, won a Cy Young. I don't know if you know that. He's one of the great pitchers of all time. I don't know if you know that. Basically invented the closer position. But nonetheless, I digress. The game was pretty easy for him. But anyway, David Price says that to Dennis Eckersley, and then he says, get the bleep out of here. Okay, so if that guy in front of the whole team humiliates you, verbally attacks you and tells you to get off the plane, is that somebody that you would want to forgive just for his own good? Because what David Price wants out of this situation clearly is David Price wants to be in the right, or at least perceived in the right. And when he realized the other day, when that article comes out and the quote comes out from Chad Finn's article, and it was posted on Twitter by WEI, Alex Ream put it up there. So when it was posted, David Price realizes that, oh yeah, Dennis Eckersley's never going to forgive me. And he must have been red when he sees that quote coming out there, because he realizes to himself, uh-oh, now this is going to be a story again. So instead of just, you know, acting mature about it, letting it roll off your shoulders and just saying, yeah, I was wrong. He's admitted he's been wrong in the past. I was wrong. I wanted to apologize to Eck. We couldn't arrange a time to do it, but that story is done now. We've both moved on. That's all you have to say. But instead, David Price, for some reason, wants to make sure that everything that he's done wrong in this town is now corrected. And because he won in the postseason, apparently is why he thinks that everybody's going to buy into what he's saying. So he thinks just because he pitched well in the postseason, maybe, that people are going to forgive him. Now, the fan base had forgiven him up until this particular point in time. But now you legitimately have fans that wanted to see David Price lose last night. You did. You had fans that wanted to see David Price get shelled last night because of his behavior. So David Price, for whatever reason, can't get over that Dennis Eckersley is never going to forgive him for this, and that David Price looks bad in this situation. He's never going to get over that. So because Dennis Eckersley won't do David Price the favor, right, and basically just say, hey, not a big deal whatsoever, the reality is it is a big deal. When you do something like that that's so immature, that's so idiotic, that's so jerkish, for lack of a better term, why would Dennis Eckersley ever forgive David Price? So what he wants, what David Price wants, is for Dennis Eckersley to make this all right from a public relations standpoint. But Dennis Eckersley's not going to do that. He's going to speak the truth. This is his reality. He's never going to forgive David Price for what happened. Now, he's moved on from it, but he's not going to grant David Price a favor and say, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal, because it was that big of a deal. Clearly, he humiliated Dennis Eckersley in front of the whole Red Sox organization, or at least the whole Red Sox team, if you will. So clearly it was a big deal. And David Price can't live with the fact that he's never going to get let off the hook in that situation, that it can't be righted. That wrong cannot be righted. It never will be righted, because Dennis Eckersley isn't going to grant him the time to sit down and talk with him. And Dennis Eckersley isn't privately or publicly going to come out and say it wasn't that big of a deal, because the reality is it was that big of a deal. And that's when that's what David Price just can't handle. He can't handle the fact that he thought that everything, all the mistakes he'd made over the past couple of years with how he handled the media, with how he handled the Dennis Eckersley situation, he thought because he won in the postseason that all would be forgiven. And he couldn't be more mistaken. When you handle a situation as poorly as he did on Thursday afternoon, it's only going to get worse for David Price. And the fact that he went out there last night and he pitched that poorly against the Baltimore Orioles, you can't tell me that this isn't a guy, again, that is turning into a head case. Okay? Because we've seen it in the past with David Price. He has not handled adversity well as a pitcher. That's the reality of his career here in Boston. He has not handled tough situations well. He had one nice postseason run where he had, what, three good starts. He had two really horrible starts. So he has not been able to handle the pressure well. So you think now David Price is going to handle the pressure well? He just went out there against an Orioles team where he knew this was more than just a regular start yesterday, and he laid an egg. He laid an egg against a team that is 27th in batting average, that is 27th in on-base percentage, and that is 27th in runs scored. He couldn't get through that lineup. He couldn't get through the fifth inning. You look at his start against the Dodgers, only went five innings in that one. The start before that against the Tigers only went five innings. So we had thought that after what he did last year in the postseason, that David Price had kind of figured things out. Well, now he's hitting his biggest rough patch of the season. That was by far his worst start of the season. And now he's got all this controversy that is now surrounding him. That's what he has. He has all this controversy that's now surrounding him. And you actually believe that David Price is going to handle this thing well going forward? 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Gene in Rochester. What's up, Gene?
Hey, Brian, how are you doing? Thanks for the call. Great show, as usual. I like listening to you, by the way. It's good to have a good voice on the air, so thank you for that.
Appreciate it, man.
Real quick, from my point of view, I didn't like Price beforehand. Nobody did, really, because how he acted. And I'm maybe one of the people in the crowd that thinks that, okay, he did well last year. He kind of redeemed himself, so I felt better about him. And granted, things have gone pretty well for a while until this recent incident. And I just think it's kind of a series of just misunderstandings. I think what happened when the original article came out, there probably wasn't that much there, but then when EEI puts that article out, I think Reamer put it out with it. If you look at the title, it looks really, really bad. Like, and Price probably just saw that and just went crazy, which is his bad. He shouldn't do that. I understand that. I'm just trying to look at everything on all sides.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Gene, but at the same point, it's like that's the most interesting thing about what came out of that article to me is one of the most interesting things is that Dennis Eckersley still says he's surprised by that situation. So that's one of the juiciest things. We're in the content business. You're going to post that.
Right, and then some of the things you were saying, I don't think the single comment, yuck, is what got Price all pissed off a long time ago. Wasn't there a bunch of stuff that kind of just led to that? Maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, I know Eck is very straightforward, which is great. He criticizes players, and maybe Price just lost it when he heard that. That was the final thing, that yuck comment about it.
Yeah, that's the thing that put him over the top. But, I mean, at the same point, Gene, it's like, really? That's what you're going to go nuts about in the team playing and
I agree. He's too thin-skinned. There's no doubt about it. I'm not defending him. I'm just trying to look at it from all sides. Again, I'm one of those guys. He came through. I know we paid him a lot. He came through it, you know, in the playoffs last year, and we won a World Series. So I put a lot of value on that, because that's all I'm saying. So.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Gene. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. Okay, so a lot more coming up. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on David Price and the situation, what happened against the Orioles. Nathan Eovaldi's back. You expect him to perform well as he's now activated. He has not been given the title closer, but the Red Sox are a team that, remember, they didn't want to sign Craig Kimbrell to $17 million per season, and now Nathan Eovaldi is going to be a $17 million reliever. It's kind of funny how that thing works out, so certainly welcome to weigh in on that. And some proof that David Price, who claims he's this great teammate, maybe he's not so great of a teammate. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Brian Barrett with you here on WEEI.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
Single day to get back in the mix. Like, this is the last thing you guys need, because you're going to be fueling enough questions as it is.
Yeah, but I do feel that it's not going to be a distraction. I really believe that. I know my clubhouse. I know how I do things in the clubhouse. So, you know, the only thing that we have to do is play baseball.
Okay, so that was Alex Cora on OMF on Wednesday. So the timing of this is funny. Alex Cora says he met with David Price. It's not going to be a distraction whatsoever. And then literally like less than an hour later, because it was when OMF was still on the air on Wednesday. By the way, there's Christian Fourier with the question there. It was literally when they were still on the air, David Price goes out to the media and takes a shot at Dennis Eckersley's character and basically says none of his teammates wanted to be in his documentary. And it became the biggest story from a sports perspective in the state, in the region. Okay, so Alex Cora says, I know my clubhouse. I know my guys. This is not going to be a distraction. 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. Okay, so here's the thing. What David Price was accusing Dennis Eckersley of being was a bad teammate, right? And we've proven that that's not the case. You had a bunch of guys, Ron Darling, Mark McGuire, that were all in the documentary and were saying positive things about Dennis Eckersley, the teammate. So that was debunked. What David Price was trying to prove was debunked. But is David Price being a good teammate here? Because David Price, one of the things he's saying is what? Well, when I'm done, all my guys are going to want to talk about me. I don't have to be in that documentary. Well, is this being a good teammate? Because this is creating a distraction. This is creating at least somewhat of a distraction. And in particular, you've made your manager look really bad. Your manager looks bad because he was literally doing his weekly radio spot and saying how this is not going to be a distraction for the team. This is not going to be a story for the team. Yet now it is a story for the team. Yet now it was the biggest sports story in this region over the past couple of days. So Alex Cora looks bad because of what you did, David Price. Because David Price apparently met with Alex Cora and they talked about the situation. So clearly Alex Cora didn't expect this to transpire. There's no way that Alex Cora, after meeting with David Price, the impression he got was, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go out there, he's going to meet with the media, and he's going to assassinate Dennis Eckersley's character and basically say he's a horrible teammate. Because that's essentially what David Price did. Because why would Alex Cora then go on his weekly spot with OMF and say that he knows his clubhouse and that this is not going to be a distraction? He wouldn't say that. If he had any indication, if he had any feeling whatsoever that this is going to be an issue and that David Price was going to go off with the media and he was going to go absolutely nuts, he would have said something along the lines of, yeah, we'll see where it goes from here, or something like that. Or he would say, you know what, David's going to address the issue himself. David's going to meet with the media later. I'll let him speak on that. If he knew that David Price was going to go absolutely crazy about this situation, he would not have answered the question from Christian Fourier in the manner he did. So clearly Alex Cora was caught off guard with this situation. So this is the same guy, David Price, that is saying how he's a great teammate and saying how all his guys would want to talk about him after he's done playing, and yet he just made his manager look stupid. How does that play out? Okay, you're supposed to be this great team guy, and I'm sure a lot of his teammates like him, and we've heard that in the past, but nonetheless, the same thing you're accusing Dennis Eckersley of being, which is a bad teammate, you're making your manager look bad. Because your manager wanted to address the situation with you, which he did, as Alex Cora said. They talked about it on Wednesday morning, and he said it wasn't going to be a distraction. And then what did you do? You went out there and you made it a distraction after you had the conversation with the manager. There's no way Alex Cora could have known what was going to happen, because that's not how he would have answered the question with the guys on OMF the other day. Just makes no sense whatsoever. So you actually made your manager look bad. And you're talking about how you're this all world teammate, this great teammate. Well, this is not good from a clubhouse perspective. Not good whatsoever from a clubhouse perspective, because you made your manager look bad. So this whole thing, it's funny. This whole thing is about you trying to assassinate Dennis Eckersley as a teammate, and you end up looking like a bad teammate. You end up looking like a bad leader, because this, from a leadership perspective, if you will, from a leadership perspective, how does this look? How does this look? That the manager you had a conversation with, you tell him whatever you tell him, but Alex Cora, the impression he gets from the meeting is this isn't going to be a distraction, and then you go out and make it a huge distraction. So how does this look from a leader? You basically, now I don't want to say you lied to the manager, but at least the impression you gave him was not that you were going to explode with the media after that. So how does that look from a leadership perspective? You're this great leader? Well, then why did you just do that to the manager and make him look bad on his weekly radio interview? Not a good look for David Price. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Alex in Worcester. What's up, Alex?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
So, you know, during the All-Star break, I was in the mindset that the Red Sox need to go out there and get a few really good bullpen arms to solidify the bullpen and make a World Series run.
Sure.
But after these comments and the game yesterday, I'm not so sure. I think these next 2 weeks will be totally crucial in deciding whether we should be buyers or sellers at the deadline. That includes moving a guy like J.D. Martinez or even David Price, if we can manage that, because we got a lot of money on the books, and if this year is not going to be the year we go 500 or worse against the Yankees and Rays, we're just not going to be able to compete in the postseason. I think as it stands, Eovaldi isn't going to be the closer that everyone wants that Kimbrel was for the most part last year and was an elite closer. So I think the Red Sox still have a lot of huge holes, especially in the bullpen and with the last three starters. And I think our lineup is more than good enough to win a World Series, but I think the next couple of weeks are going to be absolutely huge with this big issue looming over the Red Sox clubhouse.
Yeah, I certainly agree with a lot of what you're saying, Alex. Now, also with David Price, now you have real pressure when you get ready to start against the Yankees, get ready to start against the Rays. Now all eyes are on David Price. He's put all the pressure on himself. And I do agree with your point about the lineup. You look at it coming into last night, first in runs, first in batting average, first in on-base percentage, and the pitching staff as a whole, not just the bullpen, but the starting rotation has let this team down. Part of it is Dave Dombrowski didn't fill in bullpen needs, and part of it is Chris Sale has not lived up to his contract. Nathan Eovaldi's been MIA. Finally, he's back today. Rick Porcello has not been good. So part of it is just the pitching staff has not been what Dave Dombrowski expected it to be, and the bullpen's a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny enough, the one guy that we could have counted on this year was David Price. But, you know, how he handles adversity, as you mentioned before, is, you know, not very good. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds to the next couple starts. And as we saw last night, that wasn't that wasn't good at all, and we can't keep having that performance out of him. So I think that before I was in a positive, optimistic mindset that we could really compete and go deep in the playoffs this year and try to defend our title. But because our lineup is top three in baseball,
and no doubt. We
go toe to toe with the Dodgers, Astros, and Yankees on that. But you know, like you said, bullpen, there are really only two or three guys you can count on. And I go Workman right now, but who knows how long that's going to last. And then you got Barnes, and Barnes gets hit around every now and again. And, it seems like every the start he's on, every the start he's off. And Eovaldi's a total unknown because he has never pitched in the ninth inning before, except for coming out of the bullpen late in the World Series in the postseason. So I think having a total, unknown that's not going to know how to respond to the pressure demands of a ninth inning guy, and hasn't pitched on consecutive days for the entirety of his career is going to be a total question mark heading into this.
Yeah, fair point, Alex, and I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. All fair points. To the David Price point, here's the thing. This is now three consecutive starts where the guy has gone five innings maximum. Four innings last night, the one against the Dodgers, five innings. Alex Cora said after the game last night that he isn't locating his pitches. Lack of focus with David Price last night. Okay, he threw a 93-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle of the plate to Santander. He takes it out of the ballpark. Broxton, later on in the game, he throws him a changeup where it's in the middle of the zone. Okay, the changeup's supposed to drop out of the zone. It's right in the middle of the zone. So David Price right now, who isn't an overpowering pitcher like he used to be, like remember in 2008 when he came up with the Rays, he's not that guy anymore. He needs to rely on pinpoint control, and for the past couple of starts, quite frankly, he doesn't have it. Not to mention the fact he's not ready to pitch in games the past couple of starts. Dodgers start first inning, was not ready. Last night was not ready, and you would think after everything that went on last night, he would want to be ready and come out flying, but clearly he wasn't ready. There was a time he's throwing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs in that game, okay? Got to be higher than that. I mean, 90, 91 at least. Come on, man. Lack of focus. Let's get to Cindy in Norwich. What's up, Cindy?
Hey, I've been a Red Sox fan since I was a kid. I have a few girlfriends. We go to Fenway a lot. We're all diehard fans. Last year, all of them, two out of three of them, trashed David Price. How can you like him? And I stuck up for him. I probably tend to, defend the underdog or give people another chance. But after this recent thing, I'm kind of on the fence because I used an excuse last year that, he's a sensitive guy. Yes, the media does harp on when you don't do good, and that's just how it is. But he's obviously knows how this feels if he's a sensitive guy, but he's totally fine in him doing that. What did he think he was going to gain by that? Other than now, I don't even know if I like him anymore. And I stuck up for his ass last year. Excuse me. Stuck up for him last year.
Yeah, you are the Price supporter. I appreciate the call, Cindy. And then you're even turning on David Price. That's where people are at. There were legitimate fans last night that wanted to see David Price lose. Wanted to see David Price lose. Now, I wasn't cheering against David Price last night because I want to see the Red Sox win baseball games. But I can understand why people think that way. Because what he did on Thursday, it's just indefensible. I don't know how anybody could defend what David Price did the other day. And the thing that really irritates me that he goes into the manager's office, they have a meeting. Obviously, Alex Cora thinks that everything's going to be fine. And then he goes out there and he has that press conference the way he did. Alex Cora had no idea that was going to happen, or else he wouldn't have told OMF that everything's going to be fine. It turned into a massive distraction, okay? It was a huge distraction. Whether or not that directly impacts things on the field, you can't tell me that it's not affecting David Price. Has to be affecting David Price. After what we know about this guy and handling adversity in the past, this is affecting David Price. At least that's the conclusion that we're going to draw, even if we can't definitely prove it, even if he would deny that fact. You're going to draw those conclusions based on, oh, this huge event happened with him on Thursday, and then he goes out there on Friday night and he lays an egg. That's just the reality we now live in. Let's get to House in Dorchester. What's up, House?
How you doing, Mr. Barrett? Okay. And I'm enjoying your show. Let me just say this to you. It sounds like you're answering your own question about David Price. It's no sense in you killing him on this radio show like this because he stuck up for himself. Dennis Eckersley, I mean, Mr. Eckersley, we all respect our legends. So everybody's so passionate about him because he's who he is. But David Price did nothing but stick up for himself. And we all know that he's sensitive, so I blame Dennis Eckersley for his loss because he was pitching good. He wasn't he was a mere shell of himself.
Hold on,
he was pitching
so he wasn't that bad. So you're putting the blame on Dennis Eckersley for David Price not pitching well last night, even though
he brought Price up first. Am I right?
He was asked about
Price. Did he not bring Price up first?
Well, hold on a second. So Price was basically responding to Dennis Eckersley answering a question from Chad Finn, but you can't say that he originally brought it up. What originally started all this years ago was David Price basically calling out Dennis Eckersley on an airplane. So if you want to say he brought it up, he was asked the question, he answered it. It wasn't anything that Dennis Eckersley said that was completely outlandish. He just said he was surprised by the situation, as I'm paraphrasing, and that he was over it. He thinks David Price is over it. That's all Dennis Eckersley said. But the problem, House, is when David Price makes things up. So you can say he stuck up for himself. That would be fine if he just stuck up for himself. He wanted to say something. But what he did is he put something out there that wasn't true, saying that Dennis Eckersley's teammates wouldn't want to be in a documentary about him, which was proven incorrect. That's what the issue is with David Price here.
Okay, so because he clapped back. Now listen.
House, it's not because he just said something back. It's because what he said was proven incorrect. It was factually incorrect.
Okay, I understand that. So because he said, this is what I'm saying. Mr. Eckersley said something about him, which was nothing, right? Nothing to go off about. Am I right? Okay.
Right.
So you can't control how this sensitive guy reacts. He reacted in a way that people, you know, don't like, but I don't think that he should be getting, you know, killed on the radio like this because he is our pitcher, and it is affecting him. You just said it yourself. Lack of focus. So he probably was on the mound.
House, you just want to support him even though he was acting like a child and he was acting like an idiot the other day. Oh, yeah, no problem, David. Just call it Dennis Eckersley. Assassinate his character. All good. I mean, come on.
Okay. His character was being assassinated. Of course,
how?
I want to support him.
How is his character being assassinated? Dennis Eckersley, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. Is this assassinating David Price's character, what Dennis Eckersley said the other day? That's my question. All he said is, I didn't know how to deal with that. I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him never. I don't really give a bleep one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or the other. That's all he said. That's all Dennis Eckersley said. If you were a Hall of Famer and you went into a plane after just saying yuck, after seeing some stats from E-Rod in a minor league outing, and then you went onto the plane and David Price said, oh, here's Dennis Eckersley. He mocked you, and then he told you to get the bleep off the plane in front of the whole team. You were humiliated. Would you ever want to give David Price the ability to come and sit in a room with you and apologize? I wouldn't do it. I'm sorry. I wouldn't do it. I mean, that's not something you just forgive somebody for. It makes no sense. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board here. What do you make of the whole David Price-Dennis Eckersley situation? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
WEI 93.7 FM.
I think it's been the reason why you guys can't play consistently the way you guys have.
I wish I knew, man. I don't know. It seems like every team that comes to play against us, it's like they're playing extra. They really want to beat us and humiliate us. But for the most part, we haven't had much losses like this today. And I know it's one of those tough games, and it's a bad moment to have one of these losses. But this is baseball, and tomorrow we got to come back and be much better than what we did today. It was unacceptable.
That's for sure. It was unacceptable last night, the performance of the Red Sox. 617-779-7937, your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. And David Price was horrible last night, but let's not forget, that doesn't let the rest of the team off the hook. And I get John Means is the best pitcher on the Orioles, but you have statistically the best offense in baseball right now in a lot of different areas, runs, batting average, on base percentage. You scored 2 runs last night. Atrocious, okay? Michael Chavis in the field last night. That was a joke. 5th inning, double play ball, doesn't get credited with an error. Double play ball, you have a runner on first base, You get out of that situation, it's just a 6-2 game, but instead you got first and second with no outs because Chavis can't make the play. Then later on in the game when it was out of hand, Chavis boots another ball. He was absolutely horrendous from a fielding perspective last night. You were in critical situations where you had an opportunity, 6-2 game, with runners on first and second base, with Mookie Betts and Rafael Devers coming up. Neither one can come through. It's when you need timely hitting. So that was a bad performance all around from the Red Sox last night, and in particular, bad performance by David Price on the mound. But hey, you got your stopper going tonight. You got Rick Porcello on the mound, so you're feeling good. You got your stopper on the mound. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Brad in San Diego. What's up, Brad?
Yeah, I have this convenient situation that I'm in where I grew up back there about an hour south of Boston.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm born and raised there. I love every team there. And I came out to California, so I'm about 3,000 miles away, and I'm able to kind of observe and not be in the thick of it mm-hmm. with all my friends and family back there. And, you know, going back to the Celtics with Kyrie, my gut feeling before all that stuff went down was he was not good for the team. And that's how it ended up panning out. He ended up leaving, left us high and dry. I've been very tolerant with David Price, what happened last year with regards to all the comments and everything.
Sure.
But we're at a point right now, this is the tipping point right here, where I think the Red Sox would be better off if they were able to deal him, just get him off the roster, you know, move him.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Brad. I feel like a lot of people share your opinion. The only problem is next year he's going to be 34, making $32 million. The year after that at 35, he's going to be making $32 million. And at 36, he's going to be making $32 million. Not exactly a contract that's very tradable, especially considering that right now it's the worst he's been all season. He had a great year up until the Tigers start, and ever since then, he's not been able to go deep in games. Now, he pitched well against the Tigers, and he pitched pretty well against the Dodgers, but again, only 5 innings in both those outings. And then last night, of course, the worst outing of the season for Price, where he was just atrocious against an Orioles team right after all the controversy. Let's get to Tom in Springfield. What's up, Tom?
What's up, Brad? I feel like a lot of people share
Hey, Tom, opinion. Turn your radio down, bro. Tom, turn your radio down. What's going on? All right. Get rid of Tom. We'll go to Jake in Boston. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Brian. I don't think David Price has many allies in that clubhouse. And, of course, listen, we live in a PC society, and none of you on the far left are going to say anything. But do you remember when Price called out his white teammates for not going to the White House? We spent more time in the last 3 days on Eckersley. But that was worse. Far worse. And it should have resulted in a suspension worse. And then he tried to deflect that. He tried to deflect his retweet by blaming Steve Buckley by saying it was Buckley's insensitive tweet. That was pathetic.
Yeah. Jake, I look at David Price right now, and I understand that guys in the clubhouse say that they like him. But
guys in the clubhouse are going to answer questions on Eckers Lake. They will only answer questions on that tweet. That tweet is far more divisive than anything he said about Eckersley. Steven Eckersley's an old baseball player, but this is the kind of stuff which actually does divide a clubhouse. And David Price, of course, has the manager's support because they're on the same side. But Lord knows none of you are going to walk up to Brock Holt's locker and ask him that. None of you are going to walk up to Chris Sale's locker and ask him that. It doesn't fit your narrative. That was the worst thing David Price has done. He tried to deflect it to put it on Steve Buckley. And, of course, anyone who knows Buckley for more than 5 seconds knows he had his specific meeting, and it was not David Price's specific meeting. You're not covering that because it doesn't fit your agenda, but X, since he's one of your own now, he's a nothing guy. He's a media man now. You defend him. That's worse. That's been divisive. He's got the manager's back on that. That's why Cora is going to defend him through thick and through thin. And if that was Brock Holt or was Dustin Pedroia or was half of the players who quote-unquote went to the White House, Cora wouldn't have given us the time of day, nor would you. You would have dismissed it like you dismissed that. David Price has been a divisive force in this clubhouse, and it goes well beyond Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jake. Man, Jake is fired up. Now, if you remember what happened with that David Price situation, is Steve Buckley tweeted out, Alex Cora has confirmed newspaper report he will not make the trip to meet president. So basically, it's the White Sox who will be going. And David Price retweeted that, quote tweeted that. I just feel like more than 38K should see this tweet because he's referring to the following that Steve Buckley has. And then basically you had David Price say to Alex Spear of the Boston Globe, it was an insensitive tweet that needs to be seen by more people. That's what it was. And look, there's been a lot of issues with David Price. And Buckley tweeted, Alex Cora has confirmed the newspaper report he will not make the trip. That's when David Price, as I said, responded. He said, I feel like more than 30K should see this tweet. So there was that, and that kind of just went away. That issue kind of just went away with the Red Sox, and there was not made a ton about David Price's tweet about that at that particular point in time. But now this issue has gone all over the place because of what happened the other day with the Dennis Eckersley situation. So there's always some sort of controversy that has surrounded David Price. And the problem now for David Price is he's pitching poorly, right? He has a bad performance against Baltimore. So it's not just the controversy off the field. It's now the fact that he's not pitching well again. So I just don't understand what he thought he was going to accomplish with all this the other day. All right, a lot more to get into if you want to hop on board. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so right here on WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.